Okay, praise the Lord. Who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gates that all might go in. Everybody, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. So come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. Amen. We all have eyes. And we all put our eyes on other things. Now, those who are not gifted with sight, obviously, physically, they're not placing their eyes on things, but internally, they're placing their attention. And see, there's something to that idea of putting your attention on things. And when we say, my eyes are on, it may actually mean my attention is being paid to. So I ask, where are your eyes focused? Where are your eyes? Where is your attention? What are you attending to? What occupies your mind? What has your mind captivated? There's many, or maybe most, that are looking at worldly things. They've got their eyes set on things of the world, or they've got their eyes set upon a news channel, or they've got their eyes set upon all the events that are going on currently. I want to direct you to something that God's Word says, and I hope that you'll seal it in your heart. Because it's really important that we get this, okay? It's written in Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. You, it says there, speaking of God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. Then it turns into, first it's a praise to God, and then it turns into an instruction. An instruction. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. And then in Philippians chapter 4, that's an Old Testament reference to keeping our minds on God, keeping our attention on God. In Philippians chapter 4, it's written, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Does that include virus scares? In everything, by prayer and supplication, and supplication means pleading, you're pleading with God, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you give thanks as you ask for whatever it is that you're asking for, whatever you're pleading for, you give thanks. Let your requests be made known to God. And something comes back to you. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua. That's right now, I want us just to pause for a moment and pray. Father, I ask that you would give us that peace. Help us to keep our minds upon you, that our minds would stay upon you no matter what happens in the world, that we would trust only in you, that we would trust in you forever, because in you is everlasting strength. You promise that if we are anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, we plead with you with thanksgiving, we ask you, giving thanks, we let our requests be known to you, that your peace, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through our Savior. And so, God, We ask that you would give us that peace and keep us in your presence, we pray in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. We haven't locked anybody out, as you all know. And I've got to say this because there are some people that are very concerned that we're meeting. There are other people that are angry that we're meeting. And some of them have expressed their anger at me. And there are those who believe that I'm being unloving. And they've told me so. Because I won't lock the doors and keep y'all out. I'm going to stay calm. God help me not to go into my flesh because I could get pretty upset about this. We haven't restricted people from assembling to worship. Nor have we abandoned the flock that meets here on a regular basis. Some of them have chosen to stay home, and we applaud that. There are people that for health reasons or for concerns have stayed home. And we applaud that. We welcome people to stay home if they have concerns. But I personally believe that each of us has freedom in this land that we call these United States of America, in this commonwealth that we call Pennsylvania. We have rights that are given to us by God and they're secured. They are protected by the Constitution for these United States of America and the Constitution that is serving the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Nobody. No human being has authority to violate those rights. No one. That's the truth of it. Each and every one of the people who serve in a position of authority throughout this land has sworn an oath, or they're required to, whether they have or not is another question, and sometimes when they're called upon it, we find that they haven't sworn that oath, and they don't have a copy of it, and they can't share it with us, and they're supposed to. But given the fact that they are required to swear an oath to defend the Constitution, we can hold them to account for that. If they violate that, they have violated a very basic principle of the highest law of this land. But we're going to keep our minds at peace. This isn't a message about them, and it's not a message about what's going on out in the world. It's a message about us keeping our minds focused upon the Lord. I praise God for those who have chosen to exercise their God-given rights to come, to first of all, to travel, and then to assemble, and then to worship Him. Can we give a praise to God today? Amen. 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 Those, like I said, those who want to stay home have, and I appreciate their choice. They have the free will choice to do that. And I didn't make them do it, nor did have I made any of you come here today. Is there anybody here that came because I grabbed you by the scruff of the neck and said, you better be there on Sunday? Nobody. Oh, wait, Bernie put his hand up. Bernie's bigger than me. He knows I wouldn't grab him by the scruff of the neck, first of all. Nobody forced those people to stay home, and that's as it should be. And nobody forced you to come out, and that's as it should be. And each of us have the personal responsibility to take care of ourselves, to make choices. And we're going to honor Almighty God today as we look in His Word together. We're going to ask Him to keep us at peace. I have to continually ask the Lord to keep me at peace because there are people that are shoving me. What you're doing is wrong. No, what I'm doing is right in the sight of Almighty God. We're going to start by reading about our Lord's ascension 40 days or so after His resurrection from the dead. And the main idea for today is found in the message that was spoken to the disciples who were standing there watching Him go into heaven. We're going to focus on that, but we're going to get through. I do some expositing because I want you to understand the background and all the different parts that we're going to read. I don't want you just to, well, what did that mean? I want you to give you a little bit of background and some scriptural basis for what was said at that time and what happened. But before we do, I want us to pray. Father, please turn our hearts to You. Please, Lord, for Your name's sake, open our minds to accept Your word as we worship You today. Please have your Spirit cleanse our hearts and minds of all falsehood and deception. Lord, just wipe us clean so that as your word comes into our heart, into our mind, that it would come to a clean slate, that we would receive your word, Lord, the truth of it, in spirit and in truth. Please, Father, open the eyes of our understanding and let us hear only from you. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for making the way for our salvation. Please eliminate the distractions, Lord, that are in our minds. We all have them. I just ask, Lord, that you would just wipe them out right now in Christ's name. I trust that you can do that, and I ask that you would clear our minds, Lord. Help us attend to your word. Help us to believe, Father, that this is your word. Help me, Father, to speak clearly. Give me unction, Lord, to speak concisely. And I ask that you would pour your Spirit upon all who are within the sound of my voice, whether it be in this room or it be through the online methods, either now or later. And Lord, that we would live as your word commands is really, truly my desire. I pray this in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to start in the first chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 1. It's that book we call the Acts of the Apostles. You'll find that on page 1678 in those Bibles there in your seats, if you care to follow along. Acts chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 6. Acts chapter 1. This is again after our Lord returned from the grave. He had spent about 40 days or so with his disciples. And he had instructed them further. And in fact, one of the gospel writers says, if everything had been recorded, the books of the world wouldn't be able to hold all the knowledge. We don't have it all. But what we have, we can use as a guide for our lives. And this is what I seek to help each and every one of you who hear this message today to do. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. And that's where we hear, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And that's where we'll stop our reading and trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Can you imagine? I mean, first of all, they were shocked that he was arrested. They were shocked that he was brutalized. They were shocked that he was killed. They were shocked that he was buried. And they were shocked that he came out of that grave. And now here they're standing. They're thinking he's going to take over, okay? The Romans are out and they're in. That's what they were thinking. They still thought after his arrest and the trials and his death and burial and resurrection, they still thought that he was going to take over. That he was going to rule on earth right then. They still didn't get it, even though he had taught them. And we have the record of what he taught them, and so we're going to look at some of that. And so they asked him, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? Is this it? Are we taking over now? And then he takes off. They're like, oh, just when we thought this was going to get good, he takes off. They're standing there looking at him, really? Seriously? You're leaving? Just when we thought things were going to get better, you're taking off? He says, it's not for you to know the time or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Now, he had previously taught them of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but only the Father. That's in Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman." And see, Jesus himself had said that the time is going to be like labor pains. See, and anybody who's had a child, and many of you women have, and some of you men have been there when that's happened, you notice that the labor pains, they start out, and then they get more intense and more frequent, and they get harder and more difficult as they go. And that's what he's talking about here. It's going to come upon the world as labor pains. And we're going to see these things that he laid it all out. We're not going to talk about all those things. Some of them we'll touch on, but not all of them. He said, this is what you're going to see. It's going to be boom, 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 boom. And we're starting to see it accelerate here, folks, okay? Now, there are those who poo-poo me. Ah, come on, you're doom and gloom, doom and gloom. No, I'm saying, come, Lord Jesus. Paul goes on as he's writing to the church in Thessalonica, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. You're not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And this is why we keep our eyes on heaven. And metaphorical eyes, spiritual eyes, we're attending to the things of the Lord. This is a great time of harvest, folks. We are commissioned by our Lord and Savior to go into all the world and draw souls into His kingdom. The days are short. We might last another 20 years. We might last another 50 years. I don't know. But I can tell you, the signs are showing that the birth pains are getting more rapid and more intense. Just look at the number of earthquakes that are taking place and the intensity of those earthquakes. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, which we just read, says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And here it's recorded that he related the idea of receiving the Holy Spirit as an absolute fact. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In other words, you shall be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You shall, he said. Hear what's written in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other languages, and those who were there heard them in those languages. Right before he ascended, he also related the idea of being witnesses as an absolute fact. He didn't say you could be. He didn't say you might be. He said, you shall be witnesses to me. Now, he's speaking to those guys, and he also told them at another time, you go out and tell everybody else what I told you. So he delegated that same thing to all of us through time, through all of the disciples and followers who have come before us. You shall be witnesses to him. You shall. Matthew and Mark relate his words as a command. They say, and near the end, they tell us, he said, go into all the world. So not only is he saying, you shall, you will, it's definite. You will, and you are to. Go into all the world and share your faith. And that doesn't matter where. Although the Lord did tell us that in our own hometown, sometimes it's difficult because people don't like to hear from us. And our own hometown could be our own family, could be our own circle of friends, it could be our workplace or wherever, but it doesn't tell us anywhere not to do it. Even if they don't receive us, we are to give the message. I think this is a really great time to be alive. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. The fields are ripe. And all we need to do is go out. As the Lord prepares the heart, we simply present the gospel. And He draws the souls in. Is anybody else getting chills as I'm speaking? Woo! It's a great time to be alive. We are trusted to be witnesses. He's trusted us to be here right now at this time during this whole storm that we're seeing in the world. He has given us the duty and responsibility to go out there and to draw souls into His kingdom. That's His work. We can be witnesses to our risen and ascended Savior. As He said, He's coming back. He said He's coming back. Does anybody really believe that these days? Well, there's people that mock it. Ah, He said He's coming back. Where is He at? He said they'd say that. We're entrusted with harvesting souls for His kingdom. Wow. That is an awesome trust, folks. That's an awesome trust. After He told them that they would be witnesses who tell others about Him, He was taken up into the sky. Now, can y'all imagine that? They're having a conversation, just, you know, they're standing around talking with Him, and whew, He starts taking off, okay? Now, I can't even explain that. I can't tell you how it happened, except that it was supernatural. It was not natural. He didn't just jump up and down and say, oh, here I go, fellas, you know. No, the Spirit of God lifted Him off this planet. While they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Woo! Talk about miraculous. Talk about incredible. Talk about awe-inspiring. These are normal people. These guys, His disciples, they were the guys that ran and hid because they thought it was over. And now they're asking Him, is this it? Are we going to take over now, Lord? And He says, no, it's not time. Off He takes off, okay? They were probably staring in fear. They were probably in disbelief. Never saw anything like that before, right? I mean, we might have on some movie or television thing, you know, where people fly in the air and all that, superheroes and all that kind of stuff. We may have seen it with our eyes, you know, and been tricked into believing that it was real because it was on some screen somewhere. But here they were, right in real life, and they had never seen anything like this before, and whew, He takes off. Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, which we read, tells us there were two guys standing there in white apparel. Where'd they come from? It doesn't tell us. Doesn't tell us where they came from, doesn't tell us how they got there, doesn't tell us anything except they appeared. They were there, standing there in white apparel, and what happens? Those guys, they says, what are you looking up there for? He gave you something to do. He's going to come back. Get to it. Now, all of that dialogue's not in there, but it is implied. Because He gave them the duty to go out and share the gospel. And then these guys are like, what are you standing around for? Come on, get to it. Now, remember, this account was penned by Dr. Luke. He obviously got the information from somebody else. He wasn't there. And we might ask, well, who are these two guys in white? I mean, you know, what's that about? We don't know because it's not written. I can't tell you specifically, directly, exactly, that it was whatever. But I can tell you that if we look at the other accounts in the Scriptures, we can gain an educated understanding of who they might have been or who they were. It's written in the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel record that when the disciples went to the tomb, two men stood by them in shining garments. Very often in the Scriptures, we hear of men in shining garments who are actually angels. But in case we doubt it, we can look at John's gospel record in chapter 20. Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she went to go visit the tomb when He was risen. She wept and stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels. Two angels in white sitting. One at the head, one at the other at the other one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. two angels. The scripture, as I said, it tells us of other times whenever so-called men were dressed in bright apparel, showed up on the scene, and led people to do things or not do things, stop people from doing things. I think of Balaam riding a donkey. The angel stopped the donkey, but Balaam, he wanted to keep going. See, I used to be that way. That's how I bring that in, you know. I was the donkey. No, I was Balaam. But if God can use a donkey to speak, he can use any of us, okay? He can use any of us. He'll speak through you. Don't worry about what you're going to say. He says the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say when you're on trial. Do you think he won't give them to you whenever you're speaking the gospel to somebody? He'll give you a simple message. You may not know the theological way to draw somebody into the kingdom, but you might just tell them the words that they need to hear to get into fellowship with other believers who can also help guide them into the kingdom. So now we're going to get to the meat of the message. It's written in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, that the angel said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Don't stand around. Get to it. You've got work to do. Go tell others. Those angels said he'd come back the same way he left. Do we believe that? He's going to descend out of heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel? He says he will. That's what his word says. They were shocked. They were amazed. This was an unbelievable sight. And these guys are saying, "What are you standing there looking? Come on. Snap to it. You got work to do." In Matthew chapter 24, it's written, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come," and it's so interesting to me because a thief doesn't announce his coming. He just shows up when you don't expect him. It's not like you're sitting around the house saying, "Well, there might be a thief coming tonight." No. If the master had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. And therefore, if you also be ready, for the Son of Man's coming in an hour you do not expect. That's Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 to 44. In verses 37, 38, and 39, previous to what we just read there, we learn that his return will take place at a time when the world's in a state that is reminiscent of the days of Noah. As in the days of Noah, they'll be eating and drinking, marrying and giving and marrying. Everything will be just as it always has been. Right before the flood came and took them all away, wickedness and lawlessness will abound. And don't we see that now? Most will be caught up in business as usual, he says. It's going about their day to day. Business as usual. They'll be unaware of what's about to happen until it's too late. This is why a message like this is so important. And it's one that's discouraged, very largely discouraged across not just the world, but within Christianity. "Oh, we don't want to be doom and gloom preachers, because after all, you know, we've got to have our best life now." But you know, the same is true today. And as it's written in Isaiah, "In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull." That's what Isaiah said. "Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that God should heal them." And we hear people commenting, you know, "If my people were called by my name, will humble themselves, forsake their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven." People don't even realize what it means to humble themselves. David said he humbled himself with fasting and went before the Lord. But remember what our Lord said right after that. That was Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. And as we read on into verse 16 and 17, he says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see." Speaking to his disciples, and here, now just not that much longer later, you know, in his ministry, whenever after he had died, been buried, resurrected, now before he ascends into heaven, these guys are asking him, "Is this when you're going to take over?" And he said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see." You know that applies to us, right? Many prophets, many wise people throughout the centuries were looking forward to what we are seeing right now before our eyes. They were looking for it. They wanted to see what we're seeing, but God didn't have it at that time. He's trusted us to be the ones right now, right here, or seeing what he said would come to pass. He said, "Blessed are your eyes." Many wanted to see what you're seeing, but they didn't. They didn't see it, they didn't hear what you hear, and they did not know what you know. You've been given a gift, people. You have been given a gift. You have been chosen by Almighty God to be here at this time because He trusts that you will do what He is sending you to do. In Matthew chapter 25, it's written in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And that begs a question. Are we watching? Are our eyes on heaven, not our physical eyes? I'm not saying go out there and stand up and look at heaven all day, every day. Are our spiritual eyes focused on His return? Will our eyes be on heaven as we await His return? Will we be looking for the return of our Lord and Savior when He does come? You know, He asked His disciples if He'd find faith on the earth whenever He returns. And that leads me to wonder if maybe, just maybe, He thought it was possible that He wouldn't. In Matthew chapter 13, it's written, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house, gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming." Who's the master of the house? Somebody tell me. Amen. He's the master. You don't know when He's coming. Might come in the evening. Might come at midnight. Or at the crowing of the rooster. Or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly He find you sleeping. And what I say to you. Pause there for a moment. Remember whenever He went up in the garden. And He says, "You guys stay back right. But I want you to stay awake and pray." He said, "Please watch and pray." And what happened? They fell asleep. It's there, folks. He's saying, "Lest He come suddenly and find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all." And He's not saying don't take a nap. He's not saying don't take a break. He's not saying don't go to sleep at night. What He's saying is your heart must be set upon His return. To pay attention. He's coming back. He said so. You don't want Him to find you sleeping. And He says, "What I say to you, to them, I say to all." So that are we part of all? Can anybody say, are we part of all? And we are. We're all part of all. Absolutely. Watch, He said. I say to all, watch. 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 Over and over and over in the Scriptures we hear, watch, 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 watch therefore. Pay attention. Look for His return. And we've been lulled into this sleepy pattern of comfort. Who needs a comforter when we're so comfortable, right? We do. That's why we pray for the Holy Spirit to fall upon the congregation. That's why we pray for the Holy Spirit to fall upon each and every one who hears His word. Pray. God help us. Be alert. Yeah, we sing a song. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. You know? Be alert. Be ready for His return. Pay attention to His Word. And pay less attention to worldly things, especially, dare I say it, the news and entertainment media. Other entertainment media. The news is a source of entertainment. You know that, right? That's how they program it to be entertaining, so that you watch. Pay attention to how they dress. Too much media buries fear deep in the subconscious mind. Do you know that the CDC recommends that you turn off the television during this time? It's on their website. Don't take my word for it. They say it helps to keep your mental health better. It says turn off the news. Don't listen to it. Don't pay attention to this stuff. That's what they're saying. Not me. I'm just echoing what they say because I think it's a good idea. Fear buried deep in your subconscious mind works to devour you when you consume that stuff. And I've seen lots of people that are walking in fear. I am not afraid. But they're walking in fear. And so their eyes have been blinded. Their ears have been dulled. They don't comprehend that they're walking in fear. I don't know how to fix that. I say, Lord Jesus, help them. Yeshua, our Messiah, please come. We're going to look at one other related message from our Lord. He had foretold the destruction of the temple. He had foretold wars and persecution. He had foretold earthquakes in various places. He had foretold the waves and the water's going to be roaring. The seas are going to be roaring. He had foretold the destruction of Jerusalem. He had foretold he had given the lesson of the fig tree. And then he said this, when you see all these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. When you see what you're seeing, what you all are seeing, when you see that, know that His kingdom is near. That doesn't mean stop living. It means focus your eyes on heaven, your spiritual eyes. In Luke chapter 21, it's written, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. You know, that stuff's happening. Anybody who pays the least bit of attention knows that that's happening. The earth, on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. After these things take place. And when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Keep your spiritual eyes on heaven. Watch. Watch. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Drunkenness and the cares of this life are put together. Does that mean you shouldn't be drunk, but you can be weighed down with the cares of this life? Or does that mean don't? It's pretty clear. Don't be weighed down with the cares of this life. Somebody accused me of being cavalier, having a cavalier attitude about this. But, well, I don't have a cavalier attitude, but I have my mind set on my Lord, and He keeps me at perfect peace. Don't be weighed down with the cares of this life and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it'll come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore. Keep your spiritual eyes on heaven. Keep your spiritual eyes on His return. Watch, therefore. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, they escaped them. Oh, they were persecuted. You know, all the 12 of the disciples, they were all killed for their faith. says, watch, it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, be brave, be strong, be brave, be strong, be brave, be strong. That's God's word. I'm doing my best to be brave and be strong. You know, the cream rises to the top. And I think right now we need to have spiritual leaders who are willing to stand up for what it is that God says to do. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, as has become the custom of some, especially as you see the day approaching. That's what he says. I'm just following his word. And I understand all the reasons. I don't want to get into that because I'm not trying to beat up those people that have locked down their church buildings and are not letting anybody in. I understand. They're incorporated. They've got to do it because there are liability issues involved, okay? I get that. I'm going to stand fast in the faith. In Luke chapter 12, it's written, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It's over and over and over, folks. It's not just one thing. It's not just one time. It's not just one passage of Scripture. Over and over and over, we are commanded, we are instructed, we are taught, we are encouraged, we are led to be watchful. Because we don't know when he's coming back. But he does give us the signs. I'll tell you, we're looking at the signs as we walk and talk in our daily lives. Do not marvel at this. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And that's a whole sermon in and of itself, and I'm not going to go there, but I got to share this with you because it's related to what we're talking about. As I wrap this up, I want everybody to accept the fact that believers are to be watching for our Lord's return. Is there anybody here that doesn't get that? If you don't, then I've made a grave error in bringing this message because I haven't articulated it clearly. You have to know we are to be watchful for his return. Don't get so caught up in life that you forget. Our eyes are to be firmly fixed on heaven, spiritually speaking. Again, don't run outside. The pastor said, look at the sky. That's not what I'm saying. I want everyone within the sound of my voice to be ready. I want my hands, as Paul said, to be clean of the blood. I do not want to be held to account for those people that have heard my messages and I didn't give them the whole truth. I've got to do it. And I know it doesn't always feel good. Whenever you get a message like this, it doesn't make you go out of here like, wow, I got a mouthful of cotton candy and I'm going to enjoy it. But it's God's word. And you need to know God's word. In this time where we live right now, we have been entrusted. He trusts us to take his word and to share it with others. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, oh what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Keep your eyes on heaven, folks. Not just your physical eyes. Keep your spiritual eyes. Keep your mind upon the Lord. And with each day and every activity, ask yourself some questions, okay? And here's one. Is this what I want to be doing when the Lord returns? Is this really what I want to be doing when the Lord returns? Is this where I want to be whenever he shows up, the sky opens up, and he says, all my people, come on, because we're out of here for a moment. Is this what I want him to find me focusing on? Are my eyes on heaven or are they on more earthly things? Am I walking by faith or are my eyes fixed in fear? This is the test that all of us face, my friends. This is the test that we all face. And it's faith or fear. As we live in these last days awaiting his return, let us be found with our eyes on heaven. Even so, come, Lord. Come, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, that you've led us through your word. Not much commentary there, Father, but just your word. What your word says. Help us, Lord, to see not just with physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes. Help us each to have discernment, Lord, throughout our day-to-day life, that whatever we do, we would do it unto you, as if you were right there on the edge of the sky, waiting to come in. Help us to have that perspective, that we wouldn't be weighed down with all the things of this life, that we'd be walking by faith and not by fear. I pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen.